Tickle out. I'm a girl scout. Thank you. nature of our times, and how it will change things, given the circumstances of our lives. You'd have done the same thing. You've done the same thing. You've done the same. So if we're talking about forgiveness, well, don't put me up above you. 'Cause in the strange design of conscience, we're controlled by our.
Nobody's fault.
nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. When the moon is a counterfeit, better find the one that fits. Better find the one that lights the way for you. When the road is full of nails, garbage pails and darkened jails, and the tons are full of heartless tales that drain on you. Who would ever notice you and fade into a shaded room? It's such a selfish way to lose, the way you lose these wasted blues, these wasted blues. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own. Tell me that it's nobody's fault, nobody's fault but my own.
Steeple full of swallow. Smoke in the house, heart full of my head, yeah. Mud in my mind. You must be the Sanders. You must be the sound. You must be the reason all the lights go down. You must be the sound. You must be the reason all the lights go down when they go down. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. You're listening to the radio, and I'm on it. It's 36 minutes after the hour of midnight right here on Community Radio in the 21st century. Just heard a double shot from the Gourds, and before that, what was that? It was Beck, wasn't it? Yeah, it was Beck. And then what was that other thing? Oh, the Flaming Lips, really? The Flaming Lips, really. And then before that, Adams for Peace, and started the whole thing off with some Sonic Youth. But that was like 35 minutes ago. And here we are in the future, or the present, depending on your perspective. And I am Benjamin. This is the Paragon Radio Program, where we will guarantee a few things for your evening. We will talk about what's going on, and we will give you an opportunity to respond to the state of affairs, to what is going down, folks. Oh, excuse me. That's some live radio there. What's going down is that I have a cough, so I'll have to apologize. I'll have to apologize for my cough because you will probably hear that tonight. But we'll have to talk about what's taking place throughout the world. Jesse, you seemed confused a little bit ago. You were like, there's no good news stories right now.
I mean, it's not that there's no good news stories. It's just not our usual...
Nothing to talk about
not
here?
Not our usual juice.
I mean, you know, there's been officer-involved shootings. I mean, innocent civilians have been victimized and brutalized by oppressive, tyrannical regimes.
And there's a new war.
Yeah. I'm sure drones will be involved. Yeah, no, there's all kinds of stuff to talk about. Apparently, I was on the internet doing a little show prep, and there's a lot of pictures of Americans hanging out with neo-Nazis in the Ukraine. Like pictures of like John McCain hanging out with neo-Nazis in the Ukraine. Because I don't know this for a fact because I haven't been over there to the Ukraine, but apparently the neo-Nazis took over. Did you know that?
I did not.
Viktor Yanukovych, the president, he scooted out, went to Russia. Something about the quality of vodka and, you know, he just needed some time to think. And peace and quiet, you know what I mean? I think it got a little too loud in Kiev.
Go back to the motherland?
I think they call it the fatherland, but right. Essentially, go back home.
That's Germany.
What's the difference?
Mother Russia. Or however, you know, a Russian would say that.
I don't know. Vladimir Putin makes me think fatherland. So he does. He does have an ample chest. You can see cuddling up to that bosom of strength. It's a bosom of strength, though. Not
Russian pecs,
right?
Yeah.
The Caucasus thing. It's a mountain range. But apparently, the neo-Nazis are who are in charge of the Ukraine now, which is kind of unfortunate. I think the neo-Nazis just deposed the democratically elected government and are now in charge of the military of the Ukraine and the police force. And I think they're going to start doing what neo-Nazis do, which is break skulls. They're going to be breaking skulls. And doing, of course...
Hooliganism.
Salutes. A lot of salutes. Not that, you know, all hooligans aren't necessarily neo-Nazis, or just because you're a neo-Nazi doesn't necessarily mean you are a hooligan.
There's a type.
Yeah, there is a type. There's absolutely a type. But it's a little concerning. The Svoboda Party apparently is a neo-Nazi party. Now, they have kind of a marginal control over the parliament over there in the Ukraine, but they have seized the opportunity to get involved. And it's kind of interesting because people are, the conservatives are really giving our dear President Obama a hard time over the way he has responded to Russia in regards to the Ukraine. I mean, I think, you know, and everyone keeps throwing around World War III, is this World War III? And I'll say, you know what? It's not. This cannot be World War III. Do you know why? We're on at least World War VI. I mean, maybe you could make an argument for this would be World War V. But this ain't World War III.
You got the Nazis, the Russians, and the now Americans neo-Nazis coming these together to dance once again.
These are different. These are neo-Nazis. Nazis rolled around in Mercedes-Benz. I don't know what these people are driving.
Hatchbacks.
You think that's what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Not a like a full-on convertible.
Whatever the
Benzo.
Whatever the current you know trip of the Hugo is. The Hugo.
Oh, that's Yugoslavia. That's different.
Yeah, but those little a lot of cars look like that over in that region of the world.
But it's definitely not World War III, because that was the Cold War or something.
It'd be like 10.
And then you had, and then in between the Cold War and this current conflagration, you had the global war on terrorism. That's clearly a world war, right? It's a global war. But Obama couldn't do enough. I mean, would the appropriate course of action at this point be to attack Russian soldiers in a theater of conflict somewhere on the Crimean Peninsula? Would that be the appropriate? Could we cut the budget deficit? Could we defund Obamacare? And could we go ahead and attack Russian soldiers? Boots on the ground, right?
That seems legitimate.
Move some of the people that are going to be leaving Afghanistan this year, just move them right down to Crimea. Right there on the Black Sea. Make us look strong. See, that's what it is. You know, the Republican Party finds so much weakness in Obama because, I mean, how many times have you seen Obama to have his picture taken without a shirt on?
Mm.
Yeah, exactly. You probably have several images right now of Vladimir Putin shirtless in your head at this current moment. Can you think, are you even, how strong, how big are Obama's biceps? You don't know, do you?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, they're hidden under that, you know, that coat and protected by Secret Service. Not Vladimir Putin. You know exactly how big those biceps are.
If you go to
they're big, they're massive.
If you go to a movie in Russia, apparently, like if you go to an actual movie theater, they have this little PSA thing that plays before every movie that is Vladimir Putin talking to the citizens of Russia as he's chopping firewood or something like that, or swinging a sledgehammer type tool.
And this is why you will turn your cell phone off during movie.
I chop you like a firewood, huh?
Is that what kind of, is that the PSA?
Like I don't know what he's actually talking.
Turn off your smartphones.
I don't understand Russian
during the movie.
But it's very funny. You can probably watch it on YouTube.
You didn't get a translation for it?
Mm-hmm.
No, there's no doubt. He prefers to have a little cult of personality around him. And us here, I mean, we kind of think it's cute. I really like Vladimir Putin as the president of another country. I'm totally comfortable with him being the president of another country. We couldn't handle something like that here in America. He's just too much. But that's why Obama seems weak, because you don't have any idea of what he looks like without a shirt on. I mean, if Obama were to hunt with his bare hands and wrestle Siberian tigers shirtless. You know, I mean, I think certainly the Tea Party would have more respect for him, don't you think? But it's kind of it's you have to show your strength.
It's funny that Putin always is releasing pictures of himself shirtless, doing useful things.
Yeah, he's a really good he is very good at social media.
Did you see the picture that was released this week of the White House? The White House is always releasing pictures of the Obama family doing this. But did you see the picture this week of the White House? Movie viewing room, the movie theater wing of the White House.
I know I did not see that picture.
It's the Obamas sitting there with 3D glasses on watching whatever the latest 3D movie was.
You don't even know what the movie was? No.
Sure, there's not many 3D movies these days, but you put that.
No, every movie is in 3D now. You go see every movie in 3D. It's a little over the top. Have you seen a 3D movie?
I am.
One of the new versions?
I had an incident as a child.
No? So you don't go because of something that happened when you were a child? You don't go anymore?
I'm not into the 3D thing. Let's just say they tried to take my glasses, and there was a problem.
Who tried to take your glasses?
When you go see a 3D movie, they give you the glasses, and then when you're leaving, the ushers, they want them back.
They do, huh? What are you, little tug of war here?
Well, you know.
You didn't know how to put them in your pocket and say, I left them on my seat, guy? Get your grubby hands off of me?
No. But this is an unimportant detail.
Oh, you brought it up.
It's funny.
You're a man of unimportant details.
You got the family watching the 3D movie.
Sure.
And the guy chopping firewood with no shirt on. Pretty much sums it all up.
I'm trying to think. Does Vladimir Putin have a family? You ever seen him with his wife and children?
No. No, I mean, I don't know.
Kind of a good question, don't you think?
Let's find out.
That might be why you've never seen that picture. Maybe that's why he's got such a hard time with, the whole gay people thing. It's really starting to make a lot of sense. That might be why he's so concerned with Russia's image in regards to that. But the real question is, do we care? I mean, is this not the real question? What does the Ukraine really have to do? Do Americans really get the whole Russia, Eurasia, Central Asia? Is that his wife?
That's his wife.
He kind of looks, it's a bit of a distance, but it looks like he may have killed her. With just that glare, that glance that he is offering her, it looks like death. But the real question is, do we care and why do we care? We all know that Russ from the post office cares about this.
Breakfast.
Breakfast at the Putins? We all know that Russ from the post office cares about the Ukraine. But really, who else does? I know that some people out there like this as an opportunity to say the president is weak. John McCain wants to say that we are all Ukrainians now for some reason, which I'm not really sure why. I'm not sure why are we all Ukrainians now, John?
Doesn't he have a lot of friends in the defense and war departments?
And apparently he likes to kick it with neo-Nazis. And seeing pictures of him hanging out with people from the Svoboda Party, it's kind of interesting, kind of bizarre, in that they normally don't just do the photo op thing with the neo-Nazi, paramilitary forces. But I guess it doesn't really matter this time.
I'm sure Arizona is very popular with the neo-Nazis.
It is, absolutely. Remember the Minutemen?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were really popular with the neo-Nazis. But are we supposed to care? Does it matter? Where's the direct implication here? Now, of course, within Central Asia, you have an immense amount of resource, and you have to move that resource out somehow, some way, and get it to port, get it to market. Good old Zbigniew Brzezinski, a famed, like the Henry Kissinger for the Democratic Party, Jimmy Carter's national security advisor, an advisor to President Obama in his first term, leading up to certainly during the election, his foreign policy advisor.
Who is his daughter married to?
Mika Brzezinski?
Mm-hmm.
She's the work wife of Joe Scarborough.
That's right. That's where I was reading that.
But just the work wife. Who she actually married to, I don't know.
She's a Morning Joe gal.
Yeah, Joe Scarborough is a creep.
Mm-hmm.
A real big creep. But that's not the point here. Zbigniew Brzezinski, he's Polish, so he has strong feelings against the Russians. to the point where some people say he's what they call a hater. And I'm not trying to get in the middle of that. But his worldview is that if you want to control the world, which is guys that have worldviews, guys like Zbigniew Brzezinski, their worldview is to control the world. And he says the only way to do that is by controlling Eurasia. And the only way to control Eurasia is by controlling Central Asia, which now we're talking about essentially Kazakhstan, all the other stands. I mean, Ukraine is bordering right up against that. But the Black Sea, the Caspian Sea, that area, there's immense amount of natural resource in there. But you have to bring that somewhere. Ukraine is a pipeline route from that Caspian Sea oil or Caspian Sea natural gas to Europe. It was a few years ago. Putin was flexing muscle, his big biceps. He was flexing his big biceps against NATO, against the European Union, and he cut off natural gas supplies, slowed them to a trickle through the Ukraine. All that stuff eventually ends up in Europe. And, you know, made his point. Because it got very cold for those people. But besides Russ, I mean, who has a reason? I mean, I guess we're supposed to generally care. We're talking about human beings on the planet Earth. But it's pretty clear that Russia is going to project itself. Vladimir Putin would like to see Moscow be in control of a sphere of influence similar to what the Soviet Union had before its collapse. I mean, I think that's pretty clear. But I mean, what is the role of America supposed to be in this? What are we supposed to do? Because it is an interesting time in that we've watched American foreign policy since the end of World War II be increasingly about the securing of natural resources throughout the world because of our dwindling supply of resources here at home. Well, the difference now is that America is an oil-producing country again, especially North Dakota and the oil boom that's being had up there. It's quite amazing how the energy woes of America have really changed. Now, of course, we live in a globalized world now, so we don't really get to see the financial benefits of having an oil boom here in America because the oil that's produced in America has to compete with the oil that's produced in other places in the world and all the other markets of the world. So even though America's the first oil, we're a net oil exporter. We don't import as much oil as we create anymore. For the first time since the early 70s. The price of a gallon of gasoline is still really expensive. It's still like $3.30. National average, higher than that. When you would think that it would go down if we were actually producing more oil than we had been, that you know you would actually see the price of the stuff go down. But that's globalism. We see it actually increase and go up. And you'd like to think that a secure supply, a plentiful supply of that crude stuff here in America would prevent us from having to involve ourselves in conflict throughout the planet Earth, but that's probably not the case. It's probably not going to be the case. It would make sense, though. Because that was certainly the big story of this last week, the whole Ukraine thing. And we've determined that, essentially, aside from human interests, the fact that we're all human beings, unless you're Russ or you have strong feelings about neo-Nazis.
My friend Romana just emailed me, and she says, I come from a loyal Ukrainian family who fought against the Polish, German, and Russian invaders, so their struggle is near and dear to me. My grandfather was part of an underground society who fought to keep the Ukrainian culture alive when Russia made it illegal. They would have dances, schools, religion, and feasts all hidden because they had such pride in their country. They would not let that die. So thus, my passion for Ukraine's current struggle.
There you go.
So Russ personal and interest. My friend Romana.
There we go. And maybe people who have strong feelings towards neo-Nazis. But really beyond that, does anyone care about Russia? Does anyone care if Russia is going to project its power? I mean, there was so much fear to be had about the idea of communism several generations ago during the Cold War. You know, they used to talk about the domino theory. You know, if Vietnam fell to communism, then the next, then Thailand, then the Philippines, then Polynesia, then New Zealand, then Australia. The Red Menace. We had to be really concerned about all this stuff. But do we really have to care now? Does it really matter? I don't think so. I don't think it really does. Whatsoever. I mean, you know, people want to look at the world through those lens, and you have to wonder, what is the role of everything now? And I mean, I don't think we have to go back to the late 70s with Donald Rumsfeld as Secretary of Defense in a Pentagon press conference talking about the existential threat of communism or Russian undersea communication capabilities. We don't have to backpedal towards that. And what the role should be, I don't know. Because the older I get, the more matured I become. Man, I can't help but think how great it is to be isolated here in America. Isn't it wonderful? Do we have to concern ourselves with these places far away? The answer is no, we do not. But do we? Why does that happen? I guess it's a control thing. Which is it's a common denominator amongst empire, you know, control. You got to love the title of this article. The U.S. has installed a neo-Nazi government in the Ukraine. According to the New York Times, the United States and the European Union have embraced revolution in the Ukraine as another flowering of democracy, a blow to the authoritarianism and kleptocracy of the former Soviet space. The grim realities are otherwise. What is at stake is a U.S. EU NATO-sponsored coup in a blatant violation of international law. The forbidden truth is that the West has engineered, through a carefully staged covert operation, the formation of a proxy regime integrated by neo-Nazis. Confirmed by Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland, key organizations in the Ukraine, including the neo-Nazi party Svoboda, are generously supported by Washington. We have invested more than $5 billion to help Ukraine achieve these and other goals. We will continue to promote Ukraine to be the future. We will continue to promote Ukraine to the future that it deserves. The Western media has casually avoided the analyzation or the composition of the ideological underpinnings of the government coalition. Of course, the neo-Nazi word is taboo.